change the world and have a little fun along the way. Africa Charity Culture Tournament is on Saturday, October 28th at 10:30 a.m. Proceeds benefit the Against Malaria Foundation. For more details about the event, go to TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com. Keyword events.
That'll be happening at Running Aces as well. That'll be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that. I'll be playing in it. Paul Fletcher from Cities 97 will be playing in it. I'll have a bounty attached to my head.
Huh?
Yeah.
The whole time?
The whole time. Yeah, so like physically attached to my head. And if you win, you get to rip it off.
Awesome.
If you knock me out of the tournament.
It's a piece of duct tape with a black magic mark written on it. It says bounty.
No, if you knock me out of the tournament, you'll win a pretty cool little bounty prize. And there's hundreds. There are so many players in that tournament that have bounty prizes ranging in lots of different values. I mean, some of them are just straight up cash. You knock somebody out, you get cash on the spot. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Justice and Drew here on Twin Cities News Talk. The push for Bidet Makaska, changing of Lake Calhoun, comes after years of debate. Secretary of War John Calhoun authorized the building of Fort Snelling. A South Carolinian who later became vice president and a U.S. senator was an ardent supporter of slavery. His background prompted the park board to reconsider the lake's name. Support for the change has become part of a national trend to expunge place names that honor historical figures with views that are now seen as racist. Now, the park board has put up signs at the lake with both names, Calhoun and Bidet Makaska. Officials have said that nearby streets named after Calhoun probably won't change, so just don't drive on those.
Bidet Makaska. Bidet Makaska. Bidet Makaska. That racist lake is called Bidet Makaska.
Tom in Minneapolis. Good morning.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I have a couple of things on the Calhoun Bidet Makaska issue. Bidet Makaska, when you think about it, it's not a rename. Calhoun was the rename.
Sure.
And so perhaps we're just getting back to the original intent of the people who were around the lake first.
Yeah, I've got no problem.
Sure.
Bidet Makaska.
Yeah.
Secondly, with Calhoun, we're not whitewashing him out of the history books by any stretch. We're simply choosing in 2017, in some ways memorialize and celebrate Minnesota and what it stood for in the Civil War more so than, the views of Calhoun, who Minnesotans fought and died to transform. Why not? I think it's a pretty reasonable revision in this case with regard to where we stand as Minnesotans. I suppose you have more of a case to.
Do you know why they chose to name it Lake Calhoun?
Because he was Secretary of War at the time of the exploratory mission that turned out. And
right. It was because he was largely responsible for Fort Snelling being here. I mean, because he did things that were good for Minnesota and good for that area. So they didn't name the lake after him to honor his stance on slavery.
Right, that would be right.
I understand that, but, given what he goes down in the national history books, no one knows what Fort Snelling is, 50 miles outside of the Twin Cities metro area. People know who John C. Calhoun is nationwide.
I would dispute that.
I'm with you on that too. Look.
You really are going to say people know John C. Calhoun for the creation of Fort Snelling and the war more so than his views in the 1850s?
Look, that's
you're not going to stand on that, surely.
That's debate. I mean, that both those things are debatable. I mean, the reality of really? This situation
ask
is
an average high school kid who John Calhoun is, and you're going to get a blank stare.
Yeah.
Right, until they're educated about it.
Right, so maybe if they visited Lake Calhoun and said, "Hey, Dad, why is his name Lake Calhoun?" then they would find out. No, they won't.
Right.
But they're going to find out in the history books because John C. Calhoun is in every standard history book.
Not when he's wiped from the history books because he was a ardent supporter of slavery. That's the point!
No. My point originally was he's not going to be out of the history books because he's a major historical figure from the mid-1970s.
Right, but in your mind, when you're teaching someone about John C. Calhoun, are you teaching them the whole story, or does it begin and end with, "Well, he supported slavery"?
I teach how he was a nationalist in the wake of the War of 1812, but due to the increasing sectionalism, he became one of the most forceful voices for the sudden protection of that superior institution.
Well, it won't matter. If you're doing it that way, your students are just going to fall asleep. So.
Well, you think so? No, it's just jokes, Tom.
Just a joke.
Hey, man, but I appreciate the phone call.
Sure thing.
Thanks, Tom.
Look, you can. There are clearly arguments on both sides of this. There are good weighted arguments on both sides. And unfortunately, it's going to end up falling. Your views are more than likely going to end up falling down on party lines. It is coming down to a left or right thing. Right, I do not care if they rename it Bidet Maka. They could call it Lake Carrot Top for all. It doesn't matter to me. I have no skin in this game. But as we keep saying, when you're weighing these arguments, for me, because of my views, because of my opinion, because of my ideologies, I see this and I go, well, this is a scary road that we're traveling down. We're removing the name. Because of the slavery part of it, and that, in my view, discounts all of the other things that he did during that time that got him that name in the first place.
Just teach, teach the whole person, and keep it in the context. And look, it's not my fight. You know, if they want to rename Lake Calhoun, they can rename Lake Calhoun. There are as long as proper processes are followed and it's done the right way. I got no problem with it whatsoever.
Hey, by the way, as Halloween nears, many are considering clown pranks for a night of fun. At least one sheriff's office out of Miami says the state, in the state, says don't even think of playing a creepy clown if your aim is mischief.
Well, what else would it be? What aim would you have besides? When you dress up in a costume,
well,
you're engaging in mischief.
I think what they're worried. I think they're worried about. It's not just the costume itself. I think they're worried about like the trick or the treat part. Do any kids even know what trick or treat even means? Like the whole background. How it was. Hey, you better give me. I mean,
it's been gentrified.
The whole basis of it is kind of ridiculous when you think about it. Trick or treat. What does it mean? I don't know. Well, it used to mean that. Hey, you give me a treat, or I'm going to pull a trick on you. Yeah.
Something bad might happen. It was a veiled threat.
It was a veiled threat.
Yeah. Or not even so veiled.
No.
It was a threat.
That's right.
All it is.
It's just a threat. It's a day of threat.
Right.
day of reckoning. It's
what we're saying.
Everywhere.
So apparently, an 11-year-old boy told deputies that he was nearly attacked in DeLand by a man dressed as a clown.
Okay.
That's bad.
That is bad.
Terrifying.
That's terrible.
So that prompted the sheriff's office to issue a stern warning on its Facebook page. Warning to evil clowns. And anyone considering creepy clown activity, we will not be there to save you if your intended target defends himself or herself, and you may face other penalties as well. Makes it sound like it's kind of open season on clowns.
Yeah.
Down there.
Yeah.
It's like a clown purge. You see someone dressed as a clown, you got carte blanche, man, to do whatever you want.
Men wearing clown, wolf, werewolf masks apparently robbed a convenience store. Deputies were looking for two men, one wearing a clown mask, the other wearing what appeared to be a werewolf mask as well. So, yeah, it looks like they have a larger problem going on here. So it's not so much you can wear a clown. You can dress as a clown. Like, the headline's misleading. It says, dressing as a clown for Halloween, these Florida cops say you're risking your life. Well, no, you're not really risking your life. You know, I mean, unless you go and cause harm to somebody else, you're kind of risking your life.
Your name is Pennywise.
Yeah. Did you see the Saturday Night Live?
Yes, the Kellyanne Conway.
The Kellyanne Conway, right. and what? What's
Cooper?
What's her name? What is her? What's the actress's name? I mean, the comedian's name that played
I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, Kate McKinnon.
There you go.
So
she's in everything now.
Yeah, Kate McKinnon did a riff on it by being Pennywise in the sewer.
No, it was Kellyanne Conway.
Right. But I mean, yeah. she was dressed like that. She was looking like the character it. She was looking like Pennywise, but the character was supposed to be Kellyanne Conway.
Right.
It was not funny. Like, it was well executed.
Saturday Night Live is rarely funny.
It was well executed. It was shot well. But like, I'm going, they don't get it. the disconnect between, hey, if we tap into this really popular, you know, pop culture thing right now, and then we make it political, it's going to be really
gold.
Good.
Gold, Jerry.
Gold. Yeah. And then I watched it and I went, okay, she's doing a good job, but the content is just dumb.
Yeah.
Not even from a left-right issue.
Most of their political stuff is not funny. I mean, Alec Baldwin's Trump impersonations are not funny. They're just kind of dumb, you know. But people love them because they hate Trump. People love them because they hate Kellyanne Conway. You never saw Saturday Night Live pulling these type of skits with the Obama administration.
No,
just never ever happened.
No, yeah, they serenade him as he leaves office.
Yeah, no, Obama was a cool dude, man. He was awesome.
He's
man.
Making phone calls to people, consoling them, saying sorry about Trump. Well, now I'm sounding like Clinton. I don't know how that came from.
It all blends together.
I only found out about the Saturday Night Live Kellyanne Conway Kate McKinnon it skit because there was an article in the Star Tribune about it. So I just. That's how I find out about all my Saturday Night Life.
Yeah, it's breaking news every Sunday morning.
That's right.
God, our journalism is lazy.
651-989-5855. Want to remind you that if you haven't gone to TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com in a while, you need to do so, and specifically the Justice and Drew page there. When you go there, you can sign up to win your holiday office party at Acme Comedy Company for 25 people. I mean, this is really an amazing prize that you can. All you got to do is go to the website and sign up. It's fantastic. It's a great place to have your company holiday party.
Yep, just go sign up. We'll be giving away, and also every Friday when Brian Miller comes in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to give away 4 packs of tickets to Acme Comedy Company as well with his little contest as well. So you want to be listening Fridays in the 8 o'clock hour. But go sign up, man. It's up to 25 people. The food is amazing. The banquet style food is incredible. Plus, you get to see an amazing comedy show at the legendary Acme Comedy Company.
HLN TV host S.E. Cup. S.E. Cup Unfiltered is her show. We're going to be talking with her next. She landed. We're going to congratulate her. S.E. Lat landed on Salon's list of their 25 conservatives worth following.
Oh, boy. Only 25?
Plus...
How hard was it for them to put together that list?
Well, I don't. Not very hard, based off
up with 25.
Based off of the criteria and what they wrote about them. So we'll ask Essie about that. And we haven't talked about this yet. Psychologists marched through New York City to call for Trump's removal. So you had a bunch of psychologists who did a march saying that Trump needed to be removed from office. Yeah, we're going to ask her about that next on Twin Cities News Talk.
Justice in.
City's News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM, Justice and Drew. Glad you're with us for Wednesday. Also glad that columnist, New York Daily News, host of SE Cup Unfiltered on HLN, SE Cup joins us. Good morning, SE. How are we doing?
Well, how are you?
Doing okay. Your phone was a little rocky there to start off with. Hopefully you're in a good spot. Hey, what?
I'm home, so hopefully.
There we go. Now you're good. Don't move.
Freeze.
Got a couple of things I want to talk to you about this morning. First off, we were having a Halloween conversation a moment ago, and it did raise the question in my mind. Got raised, you know, because you're different sometimes when it comes to certain things, like not having watched Star Wars and stuff like that, and fantasy and reality. Oh, I'm wondering where do you land on Halloween? Do you do Halloween?
Oh, I don't do Halloween, but I have a kid who's just now at the age where we could do Halloween. So I'll do Halloween through him.
See,
and you're gonna dress him up, and
I'm dressing up. No,
you're gonna dress the kid up and go around the neighborhood and collect gobs of candy.
Yeah, isn't that what people do? That's what I hear.
That is the custom of the times. Yes,
yeah, I'll go along with whatever people are doing. I'll do that.
Now, did you do Halloween in the past? Have you did? Is it a thing? Is it a thing of the past, or was it something that you've rejected throughout most of your life?
Did a young SE go trick or treating?
Yes, the young SE went trick-or-treating, I think, you know, probably through my early teens, and then, I wasn't in a sorority, so we didn't do, like, that kind of dressing up.
Right.
Go to, like, parties and, you know, dress up in skimpy outfits. It was not, something that ever appealed to me once I was, you know, out of childhood, I don't think.
I imagine that any Essie Cup Halloween costumes were based solely around, like, reality. Like, you were a doctor or a lawyer or worked in construction. Nothing probably of the...
What are you dressed up as? A CPA.
Yeah. I can tell you, it's even worse than that. Of the costumes I remember, one, I was a bag of mail. Like, I was a mail bag. I was young and I had, like, my mom, you know, made me, like, a garbage bag and put letters,
right,
like, stamps all over it. So I was literally a bag of mail.
That's really funny.
As literal a costume as you can get. I think one year I was a punk rocker because I just wanted to, like, put a lot of makeup and hair junk on.
Okay.
But I don't remember any others. But I'm sure they were not, like, of the fantasy.
Right, right. Life. Yeah, that's what I was aiming at. That's what I was.
But I will tell you, you'll love this.
Okay.
My son this year is going as a dragon. Okay. And it's only because that costume was given to me by a friend with a slightly older son. And so this is what he's going to be.
Now, are you going to have a conversation with him before he gets dressed up? And the son, these are not real. These are things of fantasy and fiction. Is that, will that take place prior to the dawning of the dragon costume?
Yeah, yes, that's why it's a costume, because it's not real. Dragons aren't real, and I want you to know this at 2.5.
I don't even want to ask this. We'll move on. I don't want to ask the Santa Claus question. We can save that for closer to the holidays. We want to go there. We do want to start here, though. Congratulations on making a Salon's list of 25 conservatives worth following.
Yeah, I was thrilled. It was a highlight.
Way to go. An achievement I know you've been working very hard for many years. Well, so
congratulations. Finally, Salon likes me.
I was okay. I was going to let this go and not say anything.
Right.
We were up at a friend's, you know, weekend house and kind of relaxing and chilling out, and I wasn't even going to acknowledge it because I thought, who cares? This is stupid. And then I saw people on Twitter who were mentioned on that list being like, oh, thanks. This is so nice. What a great, you know, what great company to be in. And I'm like, no. They do not like you. This is not an honor. This is a slap in your face. They are contemptuous of conservative people. And the fact that they think we are just conservative because we slap Trump around once in a while means they know nothing about conservatism. And your actual conservatism would scare them, and they would hate you, and they would write horrible things about you. So don't do this. And so that's why I started tweeting, like, no, take me off this list. I don't want any part of it. You people don't like conservatives. You people disdain conservatives. This is not something I want to be a part of, because I wanted other people. It's like, This is not an honor. Don't get excited about this.
Right.
This is bad.
It was very disingenuous. And, you know, I mean, you look at the way that it was written, and it reminded me, I was talking with Drew about this earlier, reminded me that at my former station, you know, the local weekly magazine, they did their big, you know, best ofs every year, and people can go and vote. And it was a running joke with us because I'd won best talk show host for a number of years. That was part of the joke because that was kind of funny. But what was funnier about it was the write-ups that they would do every year, because this was a very progressive magazine in the area, as all of the regional weekly magazines are. And so
yeah.
I would win this accolade, but then we would all sit around and just wait for the write-up, which was just some ridiculous nonsense of, oh, you know, I guess he got enough conservatives to go and vote for him this year with all of his anti-Obama tirades, you know. So I was, it just, when I saw this from Salon, I immediately went, oh yeah, this is not going to be real at all. This is going
to be. Well, it was so lazy. I mean, to start this thing with, you know, whatever, 25 conservatives you should be reading or whatever, and then to say, yeah, they exist. As if it's anathema to anyone reading this, that you could find any conservative on the planet interesting to read. It's just so dumb. And, you know, it's sad because Salon, while it's always been progressive and liberal, used to be a really interesting place for someone like me to go and read, just to find out what intellectual liberalism was sounding like in the moment.
Right.
And since then, it has become such a lazy, listless, I mean, completely uninteresting, boring place, predictable place to go for, like, the worst kind of hackneyed liberal cliches and stereotypes.
It's indicative of the...
They don't say anything interesting.
Yeah.
It's just a shame.
It's really indicative of the bubble that a lot of the left is putting themselves in. They don't want to interact with conservatives. They don't want to interact with any Republicans. They want to go through their day-to-day lives assuming that all conservatives and all Republicans are the same awful, racist, homophobic, terrible people that they've been told they are. And any time they're forced to acknowledge that that may not be true, it's very uncomfortable for them. Just look at like Seth Meyers the other night saying, if you're a Trump supporter, it's time to make a choice. It's my show or him.
Yeah, I think you're right, Drew. I think that's still true in places like Hollywood and certainly in some of liberal media bubbles. But I would also just say, in some ways, that's so 5 minutes ago. We're like beyond that. When Trump happened, I saw a lot of liberals and conservatives come together, Democrats and Republicans, and say, we all missed what was happening in 2016. And that's because we weren't listening to people not on the coast. Mm-hmm. And Republican establishment voices and Democrat establishment voices were all kind of complicit in that. So more of the conversations that I hear happening now are, how can we hear one another? You know, Van Jones, who I'm sure you're familiar with, I'm sure you have opinions on, but Van Jones embarked on this project called The Messy Truth, where he went to all of these Rust Belt cities because he sees the importance now. If we all live in a bubble, we're not going to be able to see the next Trump or Bernie Sanders or name it coming. So this idea, this entrenched idea that, like, oh, we shouldn't even listen to conservatives, and if you have to, you're the acceptable ones. It's so last year. I just feel like for progressive, I don't mean politically progressive, but in terms of progressing our arguments and our conversations mm-hmm. forward, no one's talking like that anymore. It's just not the thing we're doing. And so it just seems very behind the times of Salon. Like they're stuck in like the 2010s.
Well, and along those lines, and this could be for a lack of seeing those voices on the left sort of reacting to Trump in, say, the same way that you do. And what I'm trying to get at is, even in this Twitchy article about the Salon list, it talks about conservatives who call balls and strikes when dealing with Trump, give credit where credit is due, and hold them accountable when need be. And that is something that you do, and you do very well. I don't see a lot of those on the left that seem to be willing to do the same. And I do see a lot of conservatives trying to do that, but I don't. Maybe it's just because, again, they're not getting as much exposure.
Well, I think you're probably right. If we had to like quantitatively,
sure, not that it's necessary, but
but listen, like for one, we have a Republican president, so you're going to have more. You're going to have fewer examples of Democrats sort of bucking their establishment because the leader right now is Republican. So it's more noticeable when Republicans go after a Republican president, and that gets more attention. But I think when Hillary went on her book tour, to a person, you saw Democrats criticizing her. I mean, we had a bunch of them on my show. We had a bunch of them on my sister network, CNN, saying, this is bad. Stop talking like this. You sound ridiculous. So there was that honesty about Hillary. And just last night, I had a Democrat congressman from Ohio, Tim Ryan, on my show. He's from the Rust Belt. He actually challenged Nancy Pelosi for leadership and lost. But he's one of those Democrat voices saying, we need new leadership. Our party is dying. Our party no longer has any relevance or influence in the middle of the country. Those are really important voices. And when someone from the left says that about their party, it's incumbent upon people like me and you to say, good for you. That's an honorable thing to do.
There's a story out of The Hill, and I'm curious, did you see the psychologist who marched through New York to call for Trump's removal? Or did you sit curbside?
I did not see it, but I saw this story.
Yeah, so a group of psychologists and mental health professionals on Saturday marched through New York calling for President Trump to be removed from office, including more than 100 psychologists and mental health professionals pushing for him to be ousted from his post. One, Harry Siegel, a Cornell University psychologist, says we can, yeah, I knew that was going to hit you wrong. We can
that
set.
Hurts.
We can sense the power of Trump's underlying fear that he is worthless and weak by how intensely he resists and retaliated against any criticism. So clearly, just by watching him on TV, they can make this assessment.
Well, has he lost his license yet, this Cornell doctor?
I don't believe so.
Because I don't understand how any of that is ethical. How is it ethical for doctors who have not examined or treated this patient, in this case, Donald Trump, to decide that he should no longer have his job? I mean, where right. else would that happen and be acceptable for doctors to do? This complete breach of, I guess, they gathered en masse to do it. Somehow it's okay? I don't think it's okay.
Yeah, the march was organized by the Duty to Warn PAC, a group of psychologists that believes Trump has malignant narcissism, according to malignant narcissism.
Like something you need to get removed,
according to Newsweek.
You know what? I would say just from I haven't examined or treated them, but this group sounds like they have malignant narcissism. That's what they have. And I am just as qualified as they are because they haven't seen him either.
Yeah, you're working off the exact same information that they have.
SC Cup, your phone's breaking up and we're just about out of time. HLN, check out SC Cup Unfiltered, 6 o'clock our time, 7 p.m. Eastern. If you haven't watched it, what are you doing? You need to go and check the show out. It's great.
Thanks, guys. Really good.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for the time, as always, SC.
Bye.
651-989-5855.
Jim, calling from White Bear. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I wish that she wouldn't have left because I wanted to let her know. I'm wondering why you people in the media seem to think that the conservatives should create a dialogue with the Democrats. They've been trying to do that for 40 years, and they've been shut down. That's why Obamacare was passed, because no one listened to the Republican Party, and the Democrats had their way, and they ran right over their backs. So I'm just wondering why anyone would try to create dialogue after being, shut down for 40 years and having to put up with their BS in Washington.
Well, you know, I personally, Jim, I get where you're coming from, but I know for us, Drew, I want to hear from the left. I mean, if somebody calls in opposition to stuff we're talking about on the show, well, you know, and a lot of it's for entertainment value, don't misunderstand, but they can push to the top to the top of the line. I want to hear those other individuals call in and have those voices be heard. In terms of dialogue, it's all about whatever your expectation is of what you're going to get out of that conversation.
Right, and it's going to vary on issue to issue. Jim, you're absolutely right that the whole reason we ended up with Obamacare was because the Democrats decided to ram it through without any input or participation from the Republicans. So when it comes to that issue in particular, when it comes to repealing Obamacare, replacing Obamacare, you know, reforming our healthcare system, I don't think Democrats have earned a seat at the table, nor should they have one on this. And I think it's disingenuous of them to demand.
I have one word for the Democrats in the U.S. and especially in Minnesota. If everything you've done in the past was wrong, then the opposite of that must be right.
Okay, that was about 10, but I hear what you're saying.
I got you. Thanks for your call, Jim. But it's gonna, you know, look, in an ideal world, yeah, you would have some compromise, you would have some bipartisan work, but we don't live in an ideal world right now.
No.
And you don't have politicians up there that are genuinely looking out for, that are genuinely seeking out good policy.
Right.
Right. If you were genuinely seeking out good policy,
you probably wouldn't get elected to office.
Right. You'd never win an election anymore. But that's not what we have right now.
No, it's not what we have right now. What we have right now is the show coming to its conclusion for a Wednesday.
We are out of time.
Hey, Breanne, fantastic job.
Yeah, Breanne, well done filling in for Sam today.
You can come back tomorrow.
Good.
Please come back tomorrow.
I'll be here.
And you kind of have
really
to.
I would appreciate it if you would come back tomorrow.
There's no one else to sit in there, but you did do a fantastic job today.
Sam will be back on Monday. In the meantime, we are in the able hands of Breanne.
Good, generous description, but thank you.
Katie Pavlich, Fox News contributor, editor at townhall.com, will be on with us tomorrow right up until she texts me and says she won't.
Which usually happens like right at the beginning of the show.
Which has been happening quite a bit lately, but as of right now, she's planning on being on the show.
Yeah, it'll be a good time. And then we have the, of course, Friday Roundtable coming up. Nick Zerwas and Brian Miller on Friday's show, and we will be giving away tickets to Acme Comedy Company in the 8 o'clock hour. Go to TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com and register to win that banquet for up to 25 people at Acme Comedy Company. It's an amazing prize. It's an amazing venue. You won't regret it. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
I'm Chris Addison. Here's